Blog Talk Radio.
Soul Art Records Radio, and man, oh man, it has been quite some time since I've been in the studio. We just got back from Palm Springs, California, hanging out with family and friends, and just being blessed, and we're so grateful for that opportunity that God has given us. And so we hope you guys are all well wherever you are in the world, and we hope that things are good for you, and thank you for tuning into Soul Art Records Radio today as we have wonderful guests coming on. Just shortly here. But first, I want to bring on Mr. Greg. What's up, Greg?
Hey, Wardell. How are you?
How are you, sir?
I'm great, thank you. Very, very hot. Very hot.
Yes, yes. And it's like Emma was saying, it's unusual that you guys have that kind of heat, right?
And we've had record temperatures.
Yeah, and so your temperature is going up and the money is going down.
Oh, yes, for sure.
I got to get Emma's thoughts on that, too, because as a matter of fact, let's bring on Emma Hartley. What's up, Emma?
Hello, Wardell. I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I'm good, good, good. So nice of you to come on. We do appreciate that, and I know you're really hot and everything. But what's happening with you? Your heat is, your temperature is going up, and your money is going down. What's going on with that? Because
you know,
now they said ours is equal. The dollar is equal to your money. So how's it? I don't remember that happening for a long time.
And it seems like it's just kind of spiraling and just keeps going and going and going. Yeah, I'm over here at the moment.
That's not good for investors, right?
Not good.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing is that what they say, Greg, is that, you know, you don't just pull your money out of the stocks when it starts to fall. You got to leave it there. And it's just, it's so painful. It's like, what? I got to leave it in there? You know, because a lot of people, you know, the natural thing is like, okay, hold on. Let me just put this in a safe spot. Let me pull it out of here and put it someplace else. But they say you shouldn't do that. And it just, to me, just seems so weird. It's almost like that saying, you can't have your cake and eat it too. Like, what's the purpose of having cake and you can't eat it? I don't get it. So,
that's so true.
Only put it in there if you can afford to leave it in there.
Yeah, well, that's almost like, you know, only let people borrow money if you don't expect to get it back. If you don't need it, let
them
borrow.
Yeah.
That's a whole nother story, right? That's another show right
there.
Yeah,
that's another show, Wardell.
That's another show.
So anyway, I am so excited. I'm so blessed to have Greg and Emma on here today. Amen. Oh, man. Amen. This is good. This is good. So Emma is going to tell us basically why we are slobs, right? You know, okay, now I'm just playing with that. But Emma, my wife gets up and she does the yoga thing, you know, once a week. And I just can't get, I can't get there. And so I want you to express, Greg, once you read the description of what we're going to talk about.
Okay, well, covering a couple of things, really. Emma is actually, she's a great friend of mine, and she's a qualified yoga teacher. But what we thought we would do with the show tonight is, it's not going to be so much about yoga, but about the power of the breath. Because the power of the breath is, as Emma will tell you, is strongly associated with yoga, but also has so many health benefits. And we're not going to ask people to get on the floor in awkward positions tonight, are we, Emma?
Absolutely not. That's really not what yoga's all about. It is all about the breath.
So that's what the show's about. So, Emma, I'm going to hand this over to you, and you can start us off.
So, I mean, thank you, first of all, for inviting me on. You know, I think of this as a really great opportunity to spread the word about the kind of scientific evidence behind yoga and the breath, because I know that lots of people have this kind of perception about yoga that it might be a little bit alternative, or that you need to be really bendy or really spiritual to practice it. And of course you can be. But actually, yoga and breathing practices are for anyone, any age, any ability, anyone can benefit from practicing. And I think the more people might be encouraged to give it a try if they understood the kind of basic science around how yoga and breathing practices improve our physical and mental health and well-being. You know, kind of just the simple mechanics of what happens in our body as we practice. And I don't claim to be an anatomist or a physician. You know, the body is really complicated, and I've got really basic knowledge of some of the key functions, but that's really all you need. And I think there's a few basic things about the breath we should all know. So that's what we're going to look at this evening.
All right. Well, that is very heavy and very interesting. And you know, when I think about yoga, I never think about the breath. So this is a wonderful.
So all yoga is a breath-led practice. That's really all yoga is. It's breath-led practice. So we use the breath to lead the movements. So almost all of the benefits related to yoga are related to what we do with the breath. So, you know, I've been teaching yoga for about 6 years, but it's only when I went a few years ago to be a yoga for health teacher, where we actually teach patients who have early stage health conditions yoga and breathing to help their overall health and well-being. And I think the first thing we all start with, and Greg was looking at this, I think, earlier in the week, is nose breathing. Greg, you were looking a bit about nose breathing, weren't you?
Yes, it was absolutely fascinating. And I didn't actually realize that the difference and health benefits between mouth breathing, which we actually really shouldn't do, and nose breathing. And something that I spoke to you about, Emma, as well, is the fact that we take about 25 breaths a day, but are we actually missing how we should use those breaths?
Mm-hmm. So we of course subconsciously breathe. So I think a really nice way to say this is that our subconscious breath allows us to survive, whereas a conscious breath helps us to thrive. It's so true. We don't think about breathing, do we? We don't need to think about breathing. It just happens naturally, as it should do. But the power of being able to actually focus on the breath and control the breath can have really fantastic benefits.
Emma, can you talk to the listeners too, because I think most people will find this really interesting.
Yeah.
About the science-led information.
Yeah.
About breathing through the nose.
Yeah. So.
Can you talk about that?
Yeah. I mean, in yoga, almost all breathing is through the nose. We inhale through the nose. We exhale through the nose. There are a few breathing practices where we use the mouth, but not many. But setting yoga aside, there's loads of benefits for nose breathing. So if you breathe through your nose, the nose actually moisturizes and humidifies the air before it gets into your body. So it prevents dryness in the lungs. And, you know, you've got little tiny hairs in your nostrils, and they help to filter out some of the pathogens and dust and pollen before the breath enters the body. And also another key thing we'll touch on later is that nose breathing activates the parasympathetic side of the nervous system. So that's the side of the nervous system that's responsible for our relaxation response. So breathing through the nose can also reduce stress and anxiety. It increases oxygen absorption because it naturally makes you breathe slower. So if you think about how wide your throat is and then how wide your nose is, your nose is a lot narrower. So it just naturally slows down the breath. And the other really interesting thing is that when you breathe through the nose, you generate a gas in the nose, nitric oxide. And nitric oxide stimulates immunity, and it's an antiviral. So it's toxic for many viruses and bacteria, including COVID, actually. And if you think that most pathogens and viruses often invade through the nose, if you're breathing through the nose, you're creating nitric oxide, and you've got less chance of picking up bugs and viruses.
Oh, because I also know as an athlete running track, we were told not to breathe through our mouths, but we breathe through your nose.
Yeah.
So now I'm starting to understand, you know,
why.
I was a very young man, and you know, back in high school, in junior high school, running track, and I thought they just didn't want us to breathe through our mouths because it would dry us out.
Yeah, well, it is a little bit to do with that, but it's more drying out the insides of the lungs.
Okay.
But the other interesting thing is with the nitric oxide, when you hum, so if you hum, obviously you close your mouth when you hum, so you're humming, it's like an exhalation, you create even more nitric oxide. There's a greater release of nitric oxide, which is unleashed in your nose, which obviously will give you even more protection against pathogens and bugs and viruses that might be trying to enter the nose. And there actually is a breathing practice in yoga called the humming bee breath, where you just inhale naturally through the nose and then you hum out the breath on the exhalation. So that's a good way of increasing the levels of nitric oxide in your nasal cavity.
So is the breath really a health support product?
Absolutely. So, you know, I could talk for hours about the breath because there are just so many different aspects about the breath. So that's just kind of basic nose breathing. But I think for me that the biggest game changer with breathing is breath awareness. So using breath awareness to calm the mind chatter. So I don't know about you, I've got a really active mind, and if I let it just chatters away all the time. You know, this constant internal dialogue, the whirring thoughts, the replaying of situations. And because of how our brain functions, the mind chatter can be calmed through simple breath awareness. So breath awareness is just tuning into your breath and keeping your focus and your attention on your breath. So as we've said, usually breathing is a passive action, but we can turn it into a mindfulness practice. And all mindfulness is just a kind of mental exercise for your brain designed to help you stay focused on the present moment.
Well,
so with breath awareness, yes.
My present moment, and probably a lot of people, the moments like these, which is when you're having anxieties. And so I remember like just 3 days ago, because something happened with one of my vehicles, and it just really stressed me out. And I started having anxieties because I was like, did I make the right decision? Like, did I make the right decision? And, you know, and I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I couldn't go back to sleep having these anxieties. Would the breath at that point be a helping hand?
Absolutely.
So and how do you go by that?
How I will you, like, tell you.
Yes,
most
because,
of
you
our
know,
anxiety is based on being in the past or being in the future. You're either replaying stuff in your head about stuff that's gone on, like you were saying about your car, have I done the right thing, da, da, da. And then you're worrying about the future, or what's going to happen tomorrow, you know, how will I get from A to B, da, 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 da. But here's the really clever thing about the brain. So the science really behind mindfulness. So if we're doing that, letting our mind wander thing, we're worrying, we're remembering, we're replaying situations. And apparently it's been shown that we do that for around 40% of our time. But when we're doing this, we use a part of the brain called the default mode network. Our brain goes into default mode. Okay. And this is the part of the brain that's responsible for thinking about yourself, for rumination, for deliberation, going over things that have happened.
Okay.
But interestingly, this part of the brain also is responsible for our fight or flight response, which is activated when we're stressed. So high use of this area of the brain, this default mode network, is correlated to certain mental health issues like depression or anxiety. But here's the good news. Just as the brain has got a default mode network when we're daydreaming and worrying, it's got an opposite area of brain activity known as the task positive network, which is active during task positive network.
Okay.
So it's only active when we're doing attention demanding tasks. So when we really focus our attention on a particular task, okay, and that's the side of the brain we switch to when we practice mindfulness. And here's the key: only one of those two networks can be active at any one time. So you're either in default mode, thinking, ruminating, worrying, or you're in task positive, completely focused on the job in hand, completely present. So the default mode network is about past and future, and it can be useful. You need that part of the brain because that's how we plan, that's how we organize. But the tendency when we use this side of the brain is more towards worry and rumination, whereas the task positive network is responsible for the present moment, the here and now. And when that side switched on, the worry will go. It's impossible for the default worrying side of the brain to function at the same time as the mindfulness part of the brain.
Don't
so
forget,
you've
you
got
said
control over
you
it.
Said you said when that part's turned on, it will go away. So that's for me, I'm trying to figure out the organization there. How do you get from
it to switch on and off?
How do you get that switch to come
how
on?
How do you get it to switch?
Because you got to leave the other thing to get to that.
You have. So the best thing that you can do is to follow your breath. Now, I know I'm making it sound really, really easy. And it's not really, really easy because our minds are designed to think and plan and ponder. That's why it's called default mode, right? So our brain wants to get back there.
Okay.
But if you focus on the breath, so I really recommend anyone that's not done breath awareness before, go onto YouTube and find like a simple guided breath meditation. And they will talk you through how you can keep your awareness focused on your breath. And it's things like noticing the sensation of the breath in your nose, following the journey of the breath through your body, noticing the gentle rhythm of the breath as it comes and goes out of the body, just using your natural breath. You're not controlling your breath or changing your breath in any way. And as you practice, you'll notice you might be able to hold your attention on the breath for maybe a breath or two, and then your mind will start to wander away again. And at that point, all you do is draw it back to the breath. And you might have to keep doing this over and over and over again, because our mind wants to go back to that worrying and planning and rumination.
No.
But just be gentle with yourself and say to yourself, that's okay. Guide it back to the breath. guide it back.
Nina, can you post? Can you find one on YouTube? And can you actually post one on our Solar Records Radio page, please?
Absolutely, so, of course I can.
YouTube is it's full of great information, but it's also full of a lot of not very good stuff. So if you could find one and post it on our page, then tag us with it.
Absolutely, of course I can.
Actually, from you, because it would be much better coming from you than us, because you're the expert.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, they're just really, really simple, guiding you through the best breath type meditations. But research has shown that the more you practice mindfulness, the easier it is to activate this task positive network and to stay longer in there. So mindfulness, focusing on the breath, literally rewires your brain to give you more control over it. And I think that's one of the most important things really about the breath, is learning this breath awareness. And it might be that you can only do it for 2 breaths. That's still better than no breaths.
So why don't you, I don't know if I'm jumping ahead, but I want, because, you know, I'm still trying to get from my drama, right, to a better solution, right? And so I have to somehow probably exit, you know, like I have to know that option is there. And but how do you train yourself to start to do this as a default? How do you get to train? How does it work?
It will never be your default. But the key to it is noticing a point when you're anxious. Yeah. And really saying to yourself, is me worrying about this problem now actually going to fix anything? Am I being really useful with this? Or am I just really replaying the worry over and over in my head? Is there anything I can do about this right now? And if you find, like you were saying, 3 o'clock in the morning, you can't do anything at 3 o'clock in the morning. What you really need to do is sleep, right? That's going to give you more energy to deal with the problem tomorrow.
So while
you're lying in bed, this is when you start to think to yourself, hey, these thoughts aren't useful to me now. I'm going to switch over to the Task Positive Network, and I'm just going to spend some time focusing on my breath. So you might just lie there in bed and just start to notice the breath as it leaves the body and comes into the body. You might notice, you know, is my breath uneven? Is it smooth? Does it feel quite free?
That's really good, sensations, Emma,
of the body. Yeah.
That's really, really good. But this is the problem. It's for me, I'm just saying. Mm. I don't know about others, but for me, the problem that I'm seeing is in between what you just said to do.
Yeah.
And the problem that's got me all stressed out, like in the middle of that, it's like I'm not thinking well. Right. I'm I'm trying to figure out how to get from, because this is also, this is not just for people that are dealing with anxiety, but this is also for people that are depressed, right? That's going through depression. Right?
Absolutely.
So how do we how can we merge? How do we start to merge from the storm to a better solution?
So here we go. So we've thought about nose about breath awareness. Now another key part, which I consider, you know, the basics of breathing, using our breath to trigger our relaxation response. Yeah. So whether we feel stressed or anxious or calm is mainly down to a side of our central nervous system called the autonomic nervous system. I'm not going to get too deep into the terminology, but the name suggests, This is usually controlled automatically by our bodies. It's a subconscious process, yeah?
Yes.
And this autonomic system itself is split into two sides. You've got the sympathetic side, which triggers the stress response. So that's what you've been going through, this anxiety, this feeling of anxiety. Your fight and flight response has been switched on. And it's perfectly natural. It's our body's way of protecting us from a potential threat or danger by giving us a kind of burst of energy and focus to either flee the danger or fight the danger. Okay, and I'll talk a bit more about the stress response in a minute, because it's really interesting what goes on in our body when the stress response kicks in. So you've got that sympathetic, that's the side that triggers our relaxation response, also called, as you may have heard it, the rest and digest response. So this is the side that brings our body back into balance after experiencing a stress, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that's just some of the basics. So what's this got to do with the breath? Well, when we breathe in, when we inhale, the sympathetic side of our nervous system, that's the stress response side, becomes activated and our heart rate momentarily speeds up. When we breathe out, when we exhale, the parasympathetic side of the nervous system, that's the relaxation side, becomes dominant and our heart rate momentarily slows down. So we inhale, it's kind of this increase in heart rate activation energy. We exhale, we decrease the heart rate. It's calm, it's relaxation, it's restore and repair. Now, obviously, because our natural breath is pretty short, we don't notice these slight changes in every breath because they're happening too quickly. So we don't feel activated on every in-breath and relaxed on every out-breath. But what if we actively start to control the breath, make the breath longer? That's when we start to get conscious control over the autonomic nervous system. So we know that the exhalation slows the heart rate and triggers relaxation. So if we slow down our exhalation and make it longer, our heart rate stays at a low rate for longer. The parasympathetic side of the nervous system becomes dominant for longer and we'll move into a relaxed state.
Beautiful.
Emma, can I ask you, when you first started to do this, to take this quite seriously, and you've said yourself that it's not something that you can learn overnight, how long were you doing this before you started to think, oh, I think that worked? And also, another thing as well that might help me and Wardell and many of the listeners, can you give us an example of a time fairly recently, whatever that was, when you were stressed and how you dealt with it and how you felt after?
Yes, absolutely. So first question, I would say it's only in the last 3 years. I suppose I always knew, because I practiced yoga and because I was a yoga teacher, that the breath somehow helped us to feel more relaxed and helped to relieve stress. I could see it in my students, I could feel it in myself, but I didn't really understand why that was happening, the physiological reasons behind it. And it's only when I trained to be the Yoga for Health teacher that I was taught, because I was teaching patients with stress, anxiety, pre-diabetes, people at risk of heart disease, that I could teach them how to breathe to make them feel better. And it was important that I was able to tell them why this was working. Because for me, yoga is not about going to a yoga class and then coming home from a yoga class. It's taking what you've learned on your mat in your class and taking it with you into your daily life so that you can use it for yourself. And, you know, one of my favorite stories, talking about when I've seen this kind of happen and in real life, is that one of my students, it was a lady in her 60s, she'd been coming to my class for maybe a year or so. She was having to go into hospital for quite a big operation. And she was away from class for maybe 4 weeks to recover. But when she returned, she told me that an amazing thing had happened. She was in hospital waiting for the anaesthetist before going into surgery. She was all hooked up to drips, heart monitors, and she was really frightened. She was really, really anxious about going into surgery. And the nurses were a bit concerned about her heart rate. And they were kind of saying to her, you know, you need to calm down, you know, everything's going to be okay. And she said, calm down, calm down. She suddenly remembered yoga and breathing. She said, I thought back to the last class that she'd been to, and we'd practiced something called square breathing. This is where we slow down the breath, we inhale to the count of four, we exhale to the count of four, and we imagine that there's this big square in front of us, and we trace around the edge of the square as we breathe. So it makes it a real mindfulness practice as well as slowing the breath. So she started doing this square breathing while she was lying there. And she said after a few minutes, the nurses started asking her again if she was okay, because her heart rate was dropping. And she said she opened her eyes and looked at the monitor, and just after kind of 2 minutes of doing this breathing practice, her heart rate had returned to normal. And she said to me, you know, Emma, I know you always tell me in class that breathing really helps to calm anxiety. She said, but I've actually now seen it for myself. I was there hooked up to a heart rate monitor and a blood pressure monitor, and I could see the effects of it working. And she said, I went into surgery, I felt absolutely fine. And she's never missed a class since. She always comes, because she says, now I used to be able to feel it, but now I actually see it. And the other thing to know about breathing is that even if you don't notice or experience any change to how relaxed you feel, your body will still be getting the benefits. You know, you'll still be calming your nervous system. You'll still be inhibiting particular hormones in your body that are to do with stress. So that's my real experience of it.
Can I ask something else too? Adele, do you mind if I ask Emma another question?
Oh, go.
Okay, just leading on from your story there about the lady in hospital.
Mm.
From your perspective, I want to know what you think about this. There's supposed to be science that yoga can add up to of flexibility to blood vessels and even shrink arterial blockages without medications. And also, there's another thing as well, yoga apparently raises our level of antioxidants in the body.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also a claim too that yoga can decrease the need for medications in diabetes for mm-hmm. up to 40%. Well, I'm a diabetic, as you know. So what do you think about those claims?
So some of them have got science behind them, and some of them definitely have. So talking about the diabetes thing, I think that's a really good kind of segue into talking about our stress response. Because I was talking earlier about slowing our exhalation down to trigger our sympathetic lower the heart rate down. Most of us need more parasympathetic activation in our bodies. You know, in our busy lives, we get a lot more stressors thrown at us than our nervous system was originally designed to handle. So from an evolutionary perspective, the stress response was used by our caveman ancestors, giving them quick bursts of energy to fight or flee predators. They weren't under those threats every day. You think of the stressors we face today. We're bombarded, emails, phone calls, different things going on at work. So sometimes our body can be in a near permanent state of stress. It doesn't get a chance to move back to its relaxed state before another stressor comes along. And that's why so many people today suffer from stress and anxiety. But going back to your diabetes question, almost every system of our body can be damaged by persistent stress. So when our stress response kicks in, a whole series of biochemical changes in the body are triggered to prepare us to deal with this threat or danger. So first of all, stress hormones like adrenaline and cortisol are released, raising our blood pressure, increasing our heart rate, increasing our breathing rate. It makes us ready for action. The hormone release, here we go, Greg, raises our blood sugar levels. It's meant to do that because our body is trying to provide us with this extra energy to flee or fight. So the thing is, the stresses that we get today don't really need us to flee. Unless, you know, a car's speeding past and we think it's going to run us over, then it gives us that jolt to move out of the way. But most of the stresses we get in our day-to-day life today are things that aren't things that we need to flee from. So you've got all this raising in blood sugar, but you don't actually have to flee anywhere. Not only that, but hormones are secreted from the adrenal glands to inhibit any processes in the body that it considers to be non-essential in that moment. So the body inhibits digestion, tissue repair, the responses of the immune system and the inflammatory system, so that all available energy can be used instead for us to deal with that threat in hand. Now, short-term negative stress isn't harmful. It's only when these life stressors are unrelenting and we don't give our body time to return to a relaxed state that these important functions which keep the body healthy are inhibited due to this constant hormonal release. So that's when we lead to stress-related diseases like hypertension, migraine headaches, irritable bowel syndrome, fatigue, and the adrenal glands can fatigue. Loss of insulin during stress response can be a factor in onset of adult diabetes. So, there's so many different parts of the body that stress affects. But now we know that we can balance out those stresses by lengthening our exhalation. It's really as simple as that. So, So there's a really, really fantastic technique called the ocean breath. In yoga, sometimes people call it the Ujjayi breath, but it sounds a bit weird, so I prefer to use the term ocean breath. And it's a breath through the nose. We inhale naturally because we don't need to lengthen our inhalation. We want to trigger the relaxation response, on the exhale. So we inhale naturally, and then when we exhale, we slightly close off the back of the throat. It almost feels as if you are trying to do a whispered hum through the nose. So it's, I don't know if you'll be able to hear this, but it sounds a little bit like this. Yes, just really simple. There's nothing hard about it, tricky about it, but I do have some links to some really good YouTube videos to teach you how to do ocean breathing.
Well,
so
can you
I
post
can add
me?
That. Yeah. I can post that as well. No problem
right.
at all.
Okay, so...
No,
ladies first. Go ahead. Finish it up.
The reason that the ocean breath is so effective is because it teaches us how to lengthen the breath without putting force on the breath or pushing the breath. The breath does not like to be forced or pushed. If you force the breath, you'll undo all the good work that's going on in your central nervous system. So the ocean breath is a really gentle, subtle way of lengthening our exhalation, but nice and softly and gently. So it's definitely one to have a go at if you want to know how to lengthen your breath. And the other part as well is diaphragmatic breathing or abdominal breathing, and this makes sure that we're breathing deeply and efficiently. Have we got time to talk about that quick or
yes
yeah so the diaphragm, so most of us breathe just in our chest, right? Our natural breath, you think about how you're breathing now, you'll probably feel some movement going on in your chest. In our normal everyday breathing, we tend not to use our diaphragm. And yet the diaphragm is the most efficient muscle of breathing. It's this kind of large dome-shaped muscle located at the base of the lungs. And your abdominal muscles help to move the diaphragm and give you more power to empty your lungs. So diaphragmatic breathing helps you to use your diaphragm correctly while you're breathing to strengthen the diaphragm, to decrease the work of breathing by slowing your breathing rate, and it makes sure that you use less effort and energy to breathe. And it's really simple. You just place one hand kind of just above your belly button and one hand just on your chest. And the hand that's around near your belly button, that's where you want to feel the air going. So you don't want to feel the air up in the chest. You want to see if you can take the breath down to the bottom part of the lungs. And you'll naturally feel your diaphragm beginning to start to move a little bit. And as you exhale, you can kind of draw your abdominals in a little bit to squeeze out any of the air that's left in the lungs. And it's been shown to kind of, if you practice this for maybe 5 minutes a day, you will start to use your diaphragm more in your natural breathing. It will become more easy and automatic. Certainly ocean breath and certainly diaphragmatic breathing and you can use the ocean breath while you're doing the diaphragmatic breathing. So the ocean breath is something you can use, you know, in any type of breathing practice that you try. And when thinking about lengthening or exhalation, a really nice simple practice is using the ocean breath and maybe the diaphragmatic breathing, is to try to use a 2-to-1 ratio with your breath. So we try to make our exhalation twice as long as our inhalation. So you might have an inhale count of 2 and then an exhale count of 4. So inhale, 2, exhale, 2, 3, 4. Dead simple, right? Dead simple. And then once you find you're more confident with that, you can change it to an inhale for the count of 3, exhale for the count of 6. You might even get up to inhale for the count of 4, exhale for the count of 8. But always making that exhalation twice as long as your inhalation. That's going to help to trigger your relaxation response. And like I say, even if you don't feel the calming effects, they are happening in your body. You will be reducing all these hormones that are coming out that trigger your stress response, and you will be calming your central nervous system.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that are happening in your body that you don't even feel.
I feel like I'm a failure at breathing.
You what?
You feel
sorry,
it?
Greg?
I feel like I'm a failure at breathing.
No, hey, you know what? Why aren't we taught this when we're in school? You know, this is not really deep scientific stuff. This is basic stuff about how our body works. You know, I was teaching yoga for 6 years before I realized this stuff. You know, why? I was just so amazed that I'd never heard about this before when it's so simple. And there's a proper explanation behind it, a kind of scientific explanation behind it of what's going in our bodies to why it's making us feel better.
Well, Greg, I also feel like it is a blessing to learn it whenever you learn it. So
absolutely.
I'm excited that I'm learning it now. You know, I wish I would have learned it before. Same thing with learning how to save your money, right? Wish I would have learned it before. So now we're learning how to breathe. And so, and not only can we use this for ourselves, but, you know, to teach someone else younger that, you know.
Absolutely.
You give
not
them
necessarily
the opportunity.
Even younger. Anyone. So you are now,
anyone.
You and Greg
right.
are now officially breath ambassadors.
Wow.
You okay. are. So you know this stuff now. Now you've got to start passing it on.
I'll be leaning on Greg a lot because I can't. I don't know. But I want to ask you if you can do us a favor and just basically, like, okay, so I'll give you me, you know, me or just someone, you know, mine was anxiety. So I was going through anxiety, but there's some mm-hmm. people that are going through depression. Can you give us a small example of what to do? And I mean, but you're actually going to do it like right now, like say, okay, so when you put yourself in that position and say, okay, so this is what you do. And so this is
okay.
what I must, this, yeah. So give us a small example to get out of it and tell us, and do it, and just kind of like, just take us, you can take as much time as you need. We got 16 minutes before the show is over.
Okay. So before I do that, I need to do a little bit more explanation, because there's
okay.
no point me telling you something if
you don't understand
why it's working. Yeah?
Right.
So
yes.
So now I'm going to tell you about something called coherent breathing. Okay. So
Coherent breathing.
So it's a okay. breathing practice where we use the ocean breath. But this time we actually use the ocean breath on the inhale and the exhale. And we do that for a particular reason. So you were talking about different conditions and, you know, you've got anxiety, someone else might have depression. This particular breathing practice is helpful for anyone with autonomic regulation issues. Now, what do I mean by that? So I mean that anybody that struggles to bring themselves from a stress state into a more relaxed state. Okay, so remember we talked about the autonomic nervous system. So autonomic regulation issues. So that includes people with stress, anxiety, depression, those at risk of heart disease, those at risk of diabetes. So this can actually help all of that population of people in an early stage health condition. And it's all to do with something called the vagus nerve. Don't know if you've ever heard of the vagus nerve before.
Yes, we have. We talked about it on the show.
Yeah. So it's this. It's like an information superhighway. You know, it's actually two cranial nerves that run from the brain to the abdomen, and it sends signals from brain to heart, heart to brain. And when we breathe in a slow and controlled manner, the vagus sends a signal to the brain to induce the parasympathetic, the resting relaxation response. Now, obviously, these signals are happening without us consciously having to think about it. They're done relating to our heart rate, relating to our breath. But elongating the breath, so lengthening the breath, increases the signal strength. So it increases what's called the vagal firing to the heart. So it gives our vagus nerve a workout. It tones it. It proves what we call vagal tone. And those with better vagal tone are more resilient under stress because they are able to move more, to kind of shift more easily from anxious and stressed into relaxed. And the really interesting thing is, as with mindfulness, the more you practice this type of breath control, the better you control you'll have over your nervous system, because we're improving this vagal tone when we control the breath. So
what would somebody do right now, Emma, if somebody was suffering depression? What would you say to do right now?
Okay, so I wouldn't start with coherent breathing, because I think that's a little bit more advanced. I would say start with the breath awareness. Start with the ocean breath, start with the 2-to-1 ratio ocean breath. That's certainly what I'd start with.
Okay.
But once you've got the hang of the ocean breath, then you can learn to do the ocean breath on the inhale as well. And I'll also send a link for this, because you can get something called a chime track. Okay. And what this chime track does is cues when you need to breathe. We breathe naturally about 15 to 20 times every minute when we're at rest, right? But research has shown that breathing at a rate of 5 breaths per minute, so that's inhaling for the count of 6 and exhaling for the count of 6, is the most effective way of improving vagal tone. And that's what coherent breathing is. So you basically listen to this chime track. It cues you when to breathe in. You start to breathe in, and you might find at first that you can't get all the way to 6 seconds. So you simply wait for the chime to come, and then you start on your exhalation. You might not be able to go all the way down to 6 seconds on your exhalation either. You wait for the chime, and then you start breathing again. And it takes a little bit of practice. You know, a lot of people get caught up in thinking that they have to hit the chimes exactly with the breath. You don't. It's more about this gentle cue of when to breathe in, when to breathe out. So I would say certainly start with the breath awareness, then the ocean breath and the diaphragmatic breathing, the 2-to-1 ratio breath, and then see if you can move on to the coherent breathing. So in the Yoga for Health program that we do, it's a 10-week course. We always start with basic ocean breathing. We don't get to coherent breathing until about week 8. But then we practice the coherent breathing with gentle yoga movements as well. Because then not only are you getting the benefit of the breath, you're also getting the benefit of the movements of yoga. You know, I know we haven't talked about yoga very much, and this isn't really a program about yoga, but the benefits of yoga are just so wide and varied for our bodies. You know, it keeps our muscles strong. We work on our balance, you know, to reduce the risk of falls. There's certain muscles that we lengthening yoga, so it's really good for reducing back pain, things like that. So my biggest takeaway, I think, for yoga is yoga doesn't have to be extreme. You know, I think a lot of people are put off yoga by thinking that it's, you know, you have to be really bendy, you have to be really flexible. And I always say to people, you know, whenever I tell anyone I'm a yoga teacher, what I get most of all is, oh, I'm not flexible enough to do yoga. You know, and to me, that's like saying, I'm too dirty to have a bath. You know, the more you practice yoga, the more flexible you'll become. But I think people see yoga in the media in these extreme poses, you know, splits and headstands and arm balances. And that's not to say they aren't beneficial. But, you know, I've never seen any evidence to show that moving your body beyond its normal range of movement is beneficial. You know, in fact, it can overstretch ligaments and in some cases leave joints unstable. Really gentle practice is enough. That's what I believe. You know, it's all about staying within your own pain-free range of movement and listening to your body, tuning into your breath. And I think that's really the key to a safe and effective yoga practice. You know,
would this be beneficial in schools then, Emma, to teach school children?
Well, it is happening. It is happening. I think maybe it's starting a little bit too late. So funnily enough, there was something in the news the other day saying that teaching yoga in schools is not beneficial. But then as I read further on, it was teaching teenagers in high school mindfulness is not beneficial. Yeah. Well, it's not going to be. They think it's boring. They don't understand it. They just want to look at their phones, and they're used to being having minds active all the time. They don't get it. Teaching breathing and mindfulness in primary schools is a lot more effective, and you don't even need to teach it as yoga. You say to them, today we're going to have a class on the anatomy of the breath. This is what happens in your body as you breathe. If you lengthen your exhalation, it makes you feel calmer. You know, it's as simple as that. And it makes you feel calmer because, you know, everything we've talked about here today. And, you know, my hope is that if we can start teaching children from an early enough age, mindfulness and breathing practice will become part of our hygiene routine. You know, like 100 years ago, we weren't brushing our teeth twice a day. You know, that only came around twice. You know, everyone brushes their teeth now. Why can't people spend 5 minutes a day doing some nice, slow exhalations, you know, to make them feel better? So my hope is that one day it will become part of our hygiene routine, you know, our mental hygiene routine, our physical hygiene routine. That's what I think.
Waddell, I don't know if you agree with me with this, but after this talk with Emma, I'm going to stop trimming my nose hairs because I realise now how useful they are.
They absolutely are. You leave them be, Greg.
I'm going to. I need those antioxidants.
Well, this has been very enlightening, and I really appreciate you coming on and you know, sharing out, because we sometimes it's an investment in yourself, you know, to take a moment to listen to someone who wants to share something with you that could be beneficial to your health. And mm-hmm. So that just that part alone is difficult for people, which is just absolutely amazing. But, you know, we see when we see and we hear when we hear, and you can't force anybody to you know, to do what they don't want to do. But I'm so grateful that you are able to come onto this show, because this is going to be in the archives now, and people will be, we'll repost this show for others to listen, because, you know, they hear when they want to hear. And so thank you for sharing the information that's very healthy for us. And I hope that someday the school systems will stop worrying about how much money it costs to bless our children, and just do the right thing for them and worry about the cost later, because that they even said the same thing about music. You know, they try to take music out of the school, you know, and they found out later that it's really good for the brain, you know. It's, you know, but still, they still have a problem with it. And so, you know, but all we can do is, you know, just do our best and just present it. And so thank you for giving us the opportunity to allow you to present, you know, the blessings of yoga and
I really appreciate the opportunity. Thank you so much for having me on the show. And, you know, if it just inspires, you know, one person to have a go, it's free. You know, your breath is with you all the time. You haven't got to take it anywhere with you. You don't need a yoga mat. You know, just sit and breathe for a few minutes and see if it makes any difference. You won't have lost anything.
Yes, absolutely. Well, anything in closing, like what comes to your mind? What is it that, like, the bottom line or something that you might want to share with the listeners? Anything come to mind?
Yeah. I mean, like I say, you don't need to be on a mat to practice yoga or breathing. You don't need to go to a class to practice yoga or breathing. There's no being good. All you need to do to practice yoga is to tune into your body and breath. Allow your breath to lead your movements, or even without any movements, just doing a simple breathing practice. You know, honor what your body and your breath can do, and start simply by just taking 5 minutes a day for yourself. You know, that's not too much to ask, is it? Think about how much we put into other people. Just taking 5 minutes just to simply be with yourself and your body and your breath, you know, and know that you're improving your health and well-being from the inside out. And that's going to make you more able to help others around you.
That's awesome. Well, Emma Hurley, thank you so much. It's so weird. My sister-in-law's name and my father-in-law's name.
It was meant to be.
It was meant to be. And Greg, is there anything you would like to say in closing?
Yeah, just that, you know, I mean, Emma is a good friend and a client of mine too. You know, during great length in our many conversations, about lots of different things. I noticed that Emma mentioned when we talked about coming on the show with no prompting from me, she mentioned a couple of things that we talk about a lot on the talk shows, Wardell. That is mindfulness, and also one of your favourites, pay attention. And those are two of the things that she mentioned with no prompting from me. So as soon as she mentioned those in our conversation, I thought, yep, she's on the show.
All right, Emma. Well, thank you. And come back and see us again. You know, we're here. We love that positive information that you are sharing. We do appreciate you. And so whenever you want to come back and share more information with us, we are open. We look forward to it.
Thank you so much, Wardell. Thank you so much. It's so lovely to be here.
Awesome. All right, you guys. Well, you guys both have a wonderful evening, and stay cool over there in the UK. I know it's getting hot, but stay cool. It subsides. It's real soon, right? It should go to the... It shouldn't stay hot that long, right, Greg?
No, tomorrow it's all over. We've had summer now, that's it.
All right, guys. Well, we'll catch you later. God bless you.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right.
Bye,
see you guys.
Bye.
Oh, dark and lonely, no one above it. Ooh, girl, you really got it going on. I wanna thank ya. You're the reason why I sang this song. A rose is red, a violet's blue. Who cares as long as I'm with you? So God, let's just run away. Oh, we're only the two of us can play, girl. Let's run away.
You're sweet as honey. Your smiling face, your deserve me, but girl, just hurt me. With all the love you can find, oh baby girl, my lemon drop, my lollipop, girl, candy must be your name. Cause your sweetness is my weakness, and I'm there sure nothing can be this.
Ooh, I never wanna call my heart. too much, never too much.
I can't.
yeah. I'm loving this music here on Solar Records Radio. And guys, thank you so much for tuning in and hanging out with us today. What a beautiful blessing it was to talk to Emma Harley today. And Greg came on and you know, it's his buddy and his client as well. But man, she's full of information and really, really blessed us. So thanks, Greg, for bringing Emma on today to Solar Records Radio. That information is, I mean, it's crazy good. And so I know sometimes, you know, for us, sometimes we can't take that deep type of information, but you know what, I want you to do it, treat it like this, like you, when you go into a grocery store, you don't get everything in there because it's, you don't want everything in there. There's just so much stuff. But the stuff that you do want, you get that stuff. And so when you listen to this show, when you listen to it again, just grab the information out of there that's good for you, that you feel good about, and use that to bless yourself, and not just yourself, but to others as you share it, because I think it's amazing information, and I think it'll really be a blessing for you. So the breath is important, and it's how we use it that can bless us even more than it's already doing for us. So God bless you guys, and thanks again for tuning in today to Solar Records Radio. I'm going to keep this music going, and we're going to have a good time. Come on, New Edition. Let's do this.
Keeps us from becoming much. I'm
Peace, rest, and feel so real. Thank you. Well, guys, the next song I want to play you, you know, this, we lost another legend, and from the Delphonics, lead singer, and we call him Pooji. And he was wonderful. He would come on. I'm going to post an interview that I did with him. You know, rest in peace. He was a lead singer with that high falsetto. And so much love to his family. And thank you, Pooji, for blessing us here. Not just here, but just in the world. Thank you for, you know, what you brought to the music industry, my friend. And thank you for coming to Solar Records Radio and giving us an interview before you went home. God bless you. Rest in peace. All right, guys. Here we go. Delphonics.
Thank you. I'm sure you will see.
You will see
the things I am saying are true, and the way I explain them to you. Listen to me,
la 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 la. I love you,
oh baby,
la 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 la.
I can't imagine those songs without his voice. And so thank you so much, my brother. I just, you know, I wanted to play a block just dedicating it to him. And Pooja, we love you, man. Rest in peace. And thank you for, you know, your amazing work and the legacy that you and your brothers with the, for the Delphonics have brought to the music industry. We love you and appreciate you very much. Thanks for, like I said, coming on Solar Records Radio and giving us, you know, great interviews and stuff. And I believe I interviewed you on DKK Radio as well. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, brother. You take care of yourself. And, I mean, we're going to miss you. Man, that's a bad loss. Anyway, all right, guys. Let's lift it up a little bit here on Solar Records Radio. We got about another 18 minutes left in the show. Let's go.
Do a little can be done.
Keep on walking.
that's the Whispers, and man, oh man, I love, that's my history right there, and it's so good to hear all my friends playing Ricky Freeze on that Arp Quadra. Man, oh man, I got to play drums with Leon Silvers on bass. It was so much fun in the studio recording with these guys. What a blessing. Anyway, guys, thank you again for tuning in and blessing us. And you guys all have a wonderful rest of your evening, wherever you may be. And once again, Emma, thank you so much, sweetheart, for coming on and blessing us. We really appreciate you, Emma. Hartley. And Greg, of course, my brother, our brother Greg, who helps us run this show. So thanks, Greg. We love you and appreciate you too, man. You guys all take care. Have a blessed, wonderful rest of your day, wherever you may be on the globe. And thanks for tuning in to Solar Records Radio. Good night. I can make it better for you.
sympathy. I don't mind, cause you mean that much to me. Put you out the bed, and you know it. Please don't keep me, girl. My heart.